This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. It can be said that filmmaking is the folk art of a technological society. But what used to require millions of dollars, sophisticated equipment, and a lifetime of expertise to produce a film can now be done with as little as a smartphone, free software, a good eye, and a talent for storytelling. But what stories are we telling with this new tech? Are we retelling the same old tropes? Or are young, ambitious directors breaking all the rules and coming up with something new and something local? What is the benefit of having a local movie-making scene? We're talking about the San Antonio Film Festival, which opens tonight, and we invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call at 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Adam Rocha. He is the executive director of the San Antonio Film Festival. Welcome to The Source, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate and we got Kerry Valderrama. He is a filmmaker participating in the San Antonio Film Festival. Welcome, Kerry. And we'll get to Kerry in just a minute. But let's go ahead and go on to Adam Rocha. So, Adam, tell me overall. So you've been doing this for 19 years, running the film festival.
Yes, and sir.
How's so 19 years? That's so. Tell me about. You know, the evolution of the film festival. What do we have? How did we get here?
Sure. I was a student at San Antonio College, and I made a short film, experimental, and it played at Cine Festival, and then it got...
That's the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center's iconic film festival, which is a big thing across the nation, especially for Latino filmmakers.
It's the oldest Latino film festival in the country.
Uh-huh.
And so... From there, I got invited to screen at the San Diego Latino Film Festival, and I was in the music scene, hung out at Taco Land, had long hair. Hung out in San Diego and saw how they did it. They screened at five different locations in two countries. It was in Tijuana and also San Diego State University, and all over. And I just thought that was really fun, a lot of fun. And so came back and wanted to do the same here. And just took off from there.
So. And so tell me about the process. I mean, you've got films showing all across San Antonio over the next 7 days. One tonight, it's free at Hemisphere, which is what was called Texas Before the Alamo.
That's correct. Texas Before the Alamo. It's in Hemisphere Park. It starts at 7:15. And it's a free event. It's a documentary. It's I have not seen the documentary. It was invited to be a part of the festival.
And this is a documentary that tells the story of Texas, maybe that people aren't familiar with, during the Spanish colonial era and leading up to the Alamo. And a big part of Texas history frequently, you know, just gets, you know, you get a paragraph in the sixth grade Texas history book, but there's so much richness there that needs to be examined. So and that's part of the film festival, exactly, and it's opening tonight at for free at Hemisphere.
Yeah, bring your lawn chairs and some off.
And some off for sure after all the mosquitoes we have these days. And so that's part of a mini series that could be shown on local PBS stations across Texas, but this is an opportunity for us to take a look at that. And but what are some other films that you're going to be highlighting?
Sure. Well, I mean, honestly, I started this film festival to promote filmmakers in our city. I mean, I was a kid, didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think I could afford to go to UT or NYU or USC. So I just thought, well, let me get those kids to send their movies to me, and I'll watch them and study them, and we'll show them. And then, I mean, that was the genesis of it. And then, that's what we do. We screen San Antonio films, San Antonio filmmakers, alongside these films, these world premieres. We have a world premiere of a film Thursday night. It's called Savannah, and it's a Jim Caviezel film. I mean, they actually looked us up and said, hey, you know, San Antonio kind of fits our demographics, and we'd love to be a part of it.
So, you mean, you've been doing this for 19 years, and I can imagine that when you're first starting, there's probably some of the films may not have been the best quality. a little, you know, the workmanship needed a little brush up. But now, after years of doing this, you've got the reputation. People know the San Antonio Film Festival, so you're able to get films like the Savannah film that have a lot more, able to interest people on a wider basis.
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, what's kind of different this year is we've also reached out to Hollywood. We have Seth Green coming out with his new movie.
It's, and he's a big name.
Yeah, he's in a lot of comedies on Comedy Central. Anyways, he's coming out Wednesday night, and that's going to be exciting. But if you have a big name, then, you know, it'll draw more people.
It gives you cred.
That's true. And then they'll write about it in these important newspaper or magazines.
And he'll tweet about it. He's big in social media.
Yeah.
So that's how you get some attraction.
That's correct.
And that helps, because we also have the local filmmakers, the guys who are down the streets doing the best they can with the equipment they can afford and who have a lot of passion.
And it's what it is. It's art. I think it's the most contemporary art there is. It's to me, it's equivalent of, like, I guess, in the 50s, writing novels, I guess. So, I mean, maybe it's not anywhere in the same realm, but for me it is. And so... like you said, it's passion, and you know, filmmakers are, they're ramen noodle soup crews, you know. It's exciting. It's exciting to watch be a part of the excitement of the filmmaker and having him or her screen their film in front of an audience that's not in their circle of friends and have them enjoy the movie just as much.
Okay, so, but what is... the value overall for all that? I mean, other than a bunch of guys trying to make movies and impress each other, and so is it just limited to that experience, or is there a greater value?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I think it's important in the sense that half of the films are showing documentaries, you know, and they're socially conscious documentary. This is one. It's OMG GMO.
What does that mean?
Oh my God.
I thought, okay. A genetically modified, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, there, some of the films are socially conscious or there's some documentaries. There was one about, the riots in Cairo in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
That's really.
And so, and when you have them here, like local filmmakers can hobnob and meet with the big independent filmmakers and Hollywood types and pick up tricks of the trade and also network.
Yeah. Last year we screened a film that won the Oscar for Best Documentary Shorts. They were on the Oscar Awards. And they, after they premiered their film at Sundance, they sent it to us.
Right.
So, I mean, we're so in that loop.
All right, you know. So we're talking about the San Antonio Film Festival opening tonight here in at Hemisphere Park at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk more about that and talk to one of the filmmakers. This is The Source on KSTX.
It's one thing to make a ceremonial gesture. Another one is to build a reality.
So that was the site 2 years ago, and today, ouch.
2 years ago, the 20-ton cornerstone of the Freedom Tower was put in place during a formal ceremony. Today, that same stone was quietly removed and taken back to the shop in Long Island where it had been engraved.
And that is a clip from a documentary that will be showing during this week at the San Antonio Film Festival called 16 Acres, about the rebuilding of the World Trade Center after 9/11 and all the... controversy and this different factions fighting over that. And so, and with me in the studio to talk about the San Antonio Film Festival is the director of the film festival, Adam Rocha. Adam, and so what do you know about this film, 16 Acres?
Well, it's really interesting in that the bureaucracy that goes into building a building, and then on top of that, all the emotion that's from the attack on the World Trade Center. Where commerce meets making families happy or trying to...
Right, a memorial, also yeah. a office space.
And it's... I mean, the architect, you just feel so bad for this guy. But you know, being he's a millionaire, but, you know, I mean, it's this huge challenge. How do you appease people?
If you want to call in and join the conversation, talk about the local film festival, if you've attended it, if you've had a great experience, if you give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. Now, Adam, you've had over 400 submissions for this film festival, and you whittled them down, so I guess you got rid of all the stuff that's... What do you look for when you pick your the ones that make it to the silver screen?
Well, sure. Good question. So think of it in these terms. You have, I think of like commercials, right? They're all 30 seconds, pretty much. Some are entertaining, some are informative, and some are really painful to watch. And so it's still 30 seconds, right? So what separates them is, okay, I can sit through this one yet again, or I'm not going to watch that commercial. I'm turning it. I'm walking out of the room. I'm going to put it on mute. The same kind of process goes into selecting these films. I mean, the films were really outstanding this year. So last year what we did is we tried to screen the films more than one time. We screened twice, sometimes three times. And so, I mean, the films were really well done this year. And so we just decided, you know what, let's show as many films as possible, because what we do as a film festival is a nonprofit organization is we provide a service for a community, a service for these filmmakers, in that we're screening their film. And so with that, they're trying to get into the big show, which is Sundance, and then in top of that, they're trying to sell their movies. So it's
and
like,
they want to get their movie on as many screens as they can. Yes. Across the country.
Yeah, that's correct.
And they maybe get a good deal in like DVD distribution or on cable or Redbox on the corner.
That is correct. So there's the more festivals they can rack up, more awards they can rack up, they can go to distributors, the people that buy the movies. And they can say, listen, we screened here, we won an award here. So that must mean something. It means that, okay, people actually watched it, people actually liked it. So, I mean, it gives them legs for their film.
Kerry Valderrama, are you there?
I believe so. Can you
okay,
hear me?
Kerry, now we can hear you. All right, we've cleared up that issue. Now, you were a filmmaker, and your film is Sanitarium. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Sanitarium is an anthology that's comprised of three short stories, and it was all shot locally in San Antonio by three local San Antonio directors, myself, Brian Ortiz, and Brian Ramirez. And so what we tried to do was kind of a throwback to Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and using the kind of same format from Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, to be able to kind of showcase all the talent within San Antonio, but not only on a local level, but also on a national one.
So you're using local actors and the production crew?
We do. We have a lot of local talent on both cast and crew side within the film. Then we also have some amazing names that are also in the movie: Malcolm McDowell, Robert Englund, Lou Diamond Phillips, John Glover, Chris Mulkey, Lisa Chabert, W. Mazouz are also all in the film. It was such a great opportunity to be able to, in that type of format where you have three 30-minute segments, you can bring in a lot more talent, and they are willing to be able to devote 5 days instead of 3 weeks, and then kind of be able to also work it within your budget. At the same time, being able to bring on a lot of local talent as well. So everything worked out really well.
So Sanitarium, shot in San Antonio at some of our local scary locations. Where around town did you shoot it that I would recognize?
St. Anthony's High School, the Tower of Americas. We shot at the San Antonio State Hospital. We shot some downtown, north side, south side. We really utilized all of San Antonio to be able to showcase all the great locations, all of the... kind of all the amazing areas that are all around San Antonio.
And now, it's going to be showing here at the Friday at 7 o'clock at the Santikos Palladium IMAX.
Yeah.
And but are you going to be able to take this to other film festivals around the country?
Yeah, this is actually our fourth film festival that we've been to. We world premiered it in Miami, then we screened at the Dallas International Film Festival, at the Las Vegas International Film Festival. But really the most important festival for me is the San Antonio Film Festival. I screened my first movie that I ever did in 2008 at the San Antonio Film Festival, and it's always been very important to me to showcase at that festival, to be able to kind of interact with everybody and kind of feel that there are films that are being shot locally in San Antonio that are getting distribution, that are going, as you were talking about before, with Redbox and Netflix and Video On Demand and et cetera, and that you can make films locally in San Antonio that can get distribution on a national and international level.
So is this what you do for a living now?
This is what I do. Yes, it is. I was fortunate enough, I did my first film, Garrison, which also got nationwide distribution, to then be able to kind of start directing and producing and writing full-time.
So you're living a dream. You started out as just a little wisecracking kid who made a film for the film festival. How did that work out? I mean, how did that start?
No, exactly what you were talking about before. I mean, I shot on mini-DV. I shot on mini-DV on no budget, you know, with a flashlight. And we were just lucky enough to be able to get it nationwide distribution and international distribution. You know, it really was just kind of a luck of the draw, but then allowed me the opportunity to get on the inside circle and being able to now deal directly with distribution companies, production studios, casting directors, et cetera, to really start being able to develop actual feature films that you know are going to succeed from the development process. You're not just kind of winging it, you know, and hoping that it's going to get in, that it's going to be well received, and eventually it's going to get picked up by a distributor.
So when someone comes up to you that who is very young and they're starting out and they want to do what you're doing, what's your advice to them?
Don't get into the movie business. No, I mean, there's so many different ways to be able to do it. You know, if they don't have a budget and they're just looking to shoot something, then just go shoot something. Just go guerrilla, try not to get arrested, and you know, grab your friends, try to get as much support as you can from your friends and family, and you know, you just shoot. Try to tell your story the best you can. But kind of depending on where you're at and what level you're at as a filmmaker, I mean, do you have a rich uncle, right? Do you have somebody who is willing to invest in you, right? Do you have somebody that you know that is a name? And then kind of depending on where you kind of fall into, are you a guerrilla filmmaker? Are you ultra low budget, right? And then determining on where you're at, well, then I can then kind of be able to help in giving advice on what you should do.
So is that the Robert Rodriguez Rebel Without a Crew type of doing things?
Pretty much. It really is. I mean, nowadays, you know, what Adam was talking about, you can. You can make an entire movie on an iPhone, and you can, you know, film on, you know, cameras. You don't need top-of-line stuff to be able to make a feature film. It just really depends on what your situation is when this is what you are really wanting to do.
So Adam Rocha, the director of the San Antonio Film Festival, when you hear Cary Valderrama telling the story about how the festival helped him get a foot in the business, sort of, you know, he was ambitious, he was talented, he made something, and then he started showing something, and you gave him a venue. How do you feel about that?
Hey, I'm living vicariously through Cary. I wish I could make movies, but I'm an administrator now, I want to be a filmmaker, but I don't have the time to do it. But I'm very proud of Cary and all his accomplishments and the other filmmakers that are in the festival, especially ones that are from San Antonio. I mean, this is it's just what we live for, everybody that's on our staff and crew.
Now, are we challenging the conventional notions of what makes a movie? Are we reinventing the story? Are we doing something new with all this talent and ability and tech? Cary?
Yeah, I think that you can push the limits, right? And I think a lot of people are showing on what you can do now with visual effects, with CGI, with special effects. But, you know, I really think that in the end, it really what makes a good story? You know, what makes a good story, and what do you personally, as a filmmaker, what are you drawn to? Are you drawn to horror, drama, action, family, and really just telling stories of what you know? And that's one of the things that I always tell people is, you know, just write what you know and what you're comfortable with. But I think that on pushing new boundaries on what you can do, you know, there's films out there that really have gone, you know, far beyond and, you know, borderline experimental. I mean, Upstream Color is a perfect example that Shane Kruth, a local Texas filmmaker out of Dallas, did, and which was one of the most experimental films that I've ever seen. So I do think that there are films that are being made now that really are kind of redefining what people perceive as your, I guess, what you would call your ordinary narrative.
All right. Cary Valderrama, he is a filmmaker, part of the Sanitarium, which is going to be showing Friday night at the Palladium at Santikos, and part of the San Antonio Film Festival. Also with me in the studio talking about the film festival is the director of the film festival, creator of the film festival, the man driving the bus in the film festival, Adam Rocha. And thank you so much for joining us. And there's your website is with all the information.
SAfilm.com.
SAfilm.com. Free showing tonight. Documentary at Hemisphere, Texas Before the Alamo. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back talking about the runoff races from the weekend.